Oh, I'll have enough time. The book of Ezekiel, chapter 1. And tonight we'll begin with a section from verses 4 through 14. We'll read that to start with, beginning with verse 4. And I looked, and behold, a whirlwind came out of the north, a great cloud, and a fire enfolding itself, and a brightness was about it, and out of the midst thereof, as the color of amber, out of the midst of the fire. Also out of the midst thereof came the likeness of four living creatures, and this was their appearance. They had the likeness of a man, and every one had four faces, and every one had four wings, and their feet were straight feet, and the sole of their feet was like the sole of a calf's foot, and they sparkled like the color of burnished brass. And they had the hands of a man under their wings on their four sides. And they four had their faces and their wings. The wings were joined one to another. They turned not when they went. They went every one straight forward. As for the likeness of their faces, they four had the face of a man and the face of a lion on the right side. And they four had the face of an ox on the left side, and they four also had the face of an eagle. Thus were their faces, and their wings were stretched upward. Two wings of every one were joined one to another, and two covered their bodies. And they went every one straight forward, whether the spirit was to go, they went. And they turned not when they went. As for the likeness of the living creatures, their appearance was like burning coals of fire and like the appearance of lamps. It went up and down among the living creatures, and the fire was bright, and out of the fire went forth lightning, and the living creatures ran and returned as the appearance of a flash of lightning. That which Ezekiel saw here was certainly very glorious when we begin to understand it. And certainly it was more detailed and complex than anything that the other prophets saw. As you read through the Bible and have read through the Old Testament, you would have to concur with that. However, because it is more detailed and more complex, it's more difficult to understand. And it takes a lot of time and thought and study and reading and so forth, and gathering information from other fellows and see what they have to say. And some of it you say, that's garbage. Some of it. But the intent of this vision, and there's three main purposes, I believe, in the intent of it. The first is to magnify God. It's His Word. No matter how easy it is to understand, no matter how difficult it may seem to understand, the intent of the whole book, all 66 books, is to glorify God. It is to give Ezekiel a very great and a very high and honorable thought of God. Consider once again where Ezekiel was. Consider how he must have been depressed, along with the other exiles. And then along with that, consider what God is about to enlist him to do. And certainly, a great and glorious and high vision of God is needed for that. It is the likeness of the glory of God. If you look at verse 27 of this chapter, it says, "And I saw as the color of amber, as the appearance of fire round about within it, from the appearance of his loins even upward, and from the appearance of his loins even downward, I saw, as it were, the appearance of fire, and it had brightness round about it, as the appearance of the bow that is in the cloud in the day of rain, so was the appearance of the brightness round about. This was the appearance of the likeness of the glory of the Lord. And when I saw it, I fell upon my face, and I heard a voice of one that spake." So Ezekiel, at the end of this first chapter, he recognizes that it was the likeness of the glory of the Lord. And what did he do? He fell on his face, prostrate before the Lord. Therefore, it was to produce within Ezekiel the attitude that it is an honor to serve the Lord. It's an honor to serve God, not one of pride and arrogance, but one of humility. Let us keep that thought. Let us keep that thought with us when we leave here tonight. Let us keep that thought with us when we go about our business tomorrow and the next day and every day of our life, that it's an honor and a privilege to serve God. Ezekiel may now serve him with safety, for he has power sufficient to carry him in his work. You think about the manifestation, you think about the vision which Ezekiel saw. And as we go through this, we'll try to bring these things out. But he has power. He has sufficient power to help, to protect, to keep those that are his, and to enable us for the task which he wants us to do, for the service which he wants us to render. It would be to my peril to draw back. And why would that be? For he has power to pursue, just as he did Jonah. Jonah thought he could run and hide and get away from the Lord. But we know what happened there, don't we? You can't run and get away from the Lord. You can't hide and get away from the Lord. He has power to pursue. He knows where we're at no matter where we go. When you think along those lines, one of my favorite passages is Psalms 139. What is there about me that is hid from the Lord? Where can I go that the Lord's not there? There's nothing about me that's hid from the Lord, and there's no place that I can go that he's not there. So great a God as this must be served, and he must be served how? Turn with me to the book of Hebrews. The book of Hebrews in chapter 12. Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 28. Wherefore we, receiving a kingdom which cannot be moved, let us have grace whereby we may serve God acceptably with reverence and godly fear. You see, that's how that we ought to serve God. We ought to serve God with reverence, with fear, with standing in awe of Him, fearing His great power, and godly fear. Not one out of arrogance and pride. I've seen a lot of Christians. I've seen pastors who seem to be proud and arrogant. And that may just be their mannerism. But they put on a pretty good air that it is out of pride and arrogance. I don't ever want to give that opinion to another. I don't feel that in my heart. Not as I stand before you, not as I come in and out among you. I'm not worthy. But nonetheless, it's a place and it's a position that the Lord has put me. And now I must serve Him and serve Him to the best of my ability and trusting Him for grace and strength, enabling me to do that. Turn with me to the book of Psalms. The book of Psalms in chapter 89. Look with me at verse 7. God is greatly to be feared in the assembly of the saints, and to be had in reverence of all them that are about Him. God is greatly to be feared in the assembly of the saints. We come in the assembly. We come into the house of the Lord. We come into gather together as a church of the Lord Jesus Christ, and it is, yes, it is for worship, but it is for service. It is to render a service to Him, and we ought to do it in fear. As I think about that, I think, my, if we each one, and I'm not just talking about us here, but I'm talking about all the Lord's churches. Ones that when I'm away from here that I go into, and the conferences that I go to into, if we went in with fear, what kind of goings on would be going on? I dare say things would be different in and amongst the memberships of the Lord's churches. I've been in church where it was anything but a church atmosphere. And men standing up against the pastor, talking in tones of anger and hatred. Certainly didn't come from a heart that entered in to the house of the Lord in fear of the Lord. What the Lord is able to do. I've heard instances of the men of God and relaying instances where a man, a member in the church, and gets it out with the pastor, and after the service is ready to go to blows with him, and the Lord strikes him dead. I was a member of church this man got something in his craw against the pastor. And he worked with a couple other men in the church. And he would begin to have roast pastor and grill and rail and ridicule the pastor. Causing problems with the pastor, causing problems in the church. And the thing came to a head and excluded him. And within a year after he was excluded, the Lord had struck him with sickness and he died. And his wife to this day, because she's now gone, because this was a lot of years ago. But his wife, until up to the day she died, would tell you that she believed the Lord took him because of what he was the instigator of. The other two men never have been members of the Lord's church, one of the Lord's churches since. In fact, the one man has been living the life of an adulterer, fornicator, druggie. Turn with me to the book of Revelation, chapter 15. You see, I tell you those things because these kind of things ought not to be going on in the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. And if we're entering into His assembly, entering into His house in the fear of the Lord, I don't believe they would be going on. The book of Revelation in chapter 15. Look with me at verse. Well, let's. Let's begin with verse 1. We'll read down through verse 4. And I saw another sign in heaven, great and marvelous, seven angels having seven last plagues, for in them is filled up the wrath of God. And I saw, as it were, a sea of glass mingled with fire, and them that had gotten the victory over the beast, and over his image, and over his mark, and over the number of his name stand on the sea of glass, having the harps of God. And they sing the song of Moses, the servant of God, and the song of the Lamb, saying, great and marvelous are thy works, Lord God Almighty. Just and true are thy ways, thou King of saints. Who shall not fear thee, O Lord, and glorify thy name? For thou only art holy, for all nations shall come and worship before thee, for thy judgments are made manifest. Now sure, this is talking about, I believe, particularly the elect of Israel in this time period. But it's what he's saying in verse 4 is not that true of all the Lord's people? Who shall not fear thee, O Lord, and glorify thy name? For thou only art holy. For all nations shall come and worship before thee, for thy judgments are made manifest. You see, in going into the millennial reign, all that enter in will come before the Lord and worship him. But all we realize and recognize that he is holy, we stand in fear of him. We stand in awe of him. We stand in reverence of he who is holy, because we recognize that we ourselves are not holy. We're only holy in the person of Christ Jesus. You you see. So, this vision is intended to Ezekiel, go and tell what this God will do. For he is able and he is powerful. He is all powerful, almighty. Secondly, I believe the intent of it is to strike terror upon sinners. Those Jews who remained in Jerusalem, those who were already come to Babylon, it was to strike fear in their heart. And Ezekiel, seeing this great and glorious and high vision of the most holy God, and he would go forth thus, and he would tell his countrymen the message that God had given to him, and the message to those other five countries that are mentioned in the book of Ezekiel. So it is to strike terror upon sinners. Those who were secure and those who were defiant to the warning of Jerusalem's destruction, as we see in the book of Jeremiah. And as we shall find going through Ezekiel, that there were those mentioned in the book of Ezekiel. This vision most likely did have reference to destruction. Certainly, as we think about the Almighty, He is able. We like to think of Him as loving and gracious and merciful and full of compassion. But we also know from His Word that He's a God of wrath. And that, brothers and sisters, ought to strike fear in our hearts. Because He is a God that is able to bring judgment. Turn with me to the 43rd chapter of the book of Ezekiel. Verse 2 and 3 says, "And behold, the glory of the God of Israel came from the way of the east, and His voice was like a noise of many waters, and the earth shined with His glory. And it was according to the appearance of the vision, which I saw," back in first chapter, what we're working our way through, "even according to the vision that I saw when I came to destroy the city, and the visions were like the vision that I saw by the river Kibar, and I fell upon my face." So part of it, and I think it's chapter 9, when we get into chapter 9, talks about some destruction there that is going on, and it's part of the vision that he sees in the first chapter. You see, so part of that has to do with destruction. God is a God of wrath, and He will rain judgment, you see. And then the third intent is to speak comfort. To speak comfort to those that feared God and trembled at His word, those that humbled themselves under His mighty hand. Said, let them know that even though they're captives in Babylon, even though you're in this situation now, and you're there by my providence because of your rebellion, yet I'm with you. Yet I'm with you. Yes, in this prophecy, and we'll see it, I think we'll get there. If not, well, we'll read a portion of it tonight, a familiar portion. But yes, it's a message of deliverance. It's a message of restoration. Turn with me to the 37th chapter. And keep in mind the words I just spoke to you, a message of deliverance, a message of restoration, going to be restored. And actually, this message of comfort and message of restoration begins back in chapter 35, but well, for some reason we like chapter 37 in verses 1 through 14. And you just pay attention as we go along here. The hand of the Lord was upon me and carried me out in the Spirit of the Lord and set me down in the midst of the valley, which was full of bones, and caused me to pass by them round about. And behold, there were very many in the open valley, and lo, they were very dry. And he said unto me, Son of man, can these bones live? And I answered, O Lord God, thou knowest. Again, he said unto me, prophesy unto these bones, and say unto them, O ye dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. Bones. Dead bones. Hear the word of the Lord. Thus saith the Lord God unto these bones, behold, I will cause breath to enter into you, and ye shall live. And I will lay sinews upon you, and will bring up flesh upon you, and cover you with skin, and put breath in you, and ye shall live, and ye shall know that I am the Lord. So I prophesied as I was commanded, and as I prophesied, there was a noise, and behold, a shaking, and the bones came together, bone to his bone. And when I beheld, lo, the sinews and the flesh came up upon them, and the skin covered them above, but there was no breath in them. Then said he unto me, prophesy unto the wind. Prophesy, son of man, and say to the wind, thus saith the Lord God, come from the four winds, O breath, and breathe upon these slain, that they may live. So I prophesied as he commanded me, and the breath came into them, and they lived and stood up unto their feet, an exceeding great army. Then he said unto me, son of man, these bones are the whole house of Israel. Behold, they say, our bones are dried and our hope is lost. We are cast off for our parts. Therefore prophesy and say unto them, thus saith the Lord God, behold, O my people, I will open your graves and cause you to come up out of your graves and bring you into the land of Israel. And ye shall know that I am the Lord when I have opened your graves, O my people, and brought you up out of your graves, and shall put my spirit in you, and ye shall live, and I shall place you in your own land. Then shall ye know that I, the Lord, have spoken it and performed it, saith the Lord. Now you didn't have any trouble understanding that prophecy, did you? Those bones, those dead bones are Israel. It's the whole house of Israel. And he said, you think you're dead and dried up, but he said, I'll cause you to live again. And I'll bring you back into the land of Israel again. So, words of comfort. Words of restoration to the people. A That's the introduction to verses 4 through 14. We'll continue on with the next point. Verse 4 begins what I've called the magnificent and omnipotent God. For I believe this is the vision of the magnificent and omnipotent God. Ezekiel, being under the influence of the Spirit and power of God, he looked. He saw. He perceived what God would reveal to him. And we'll see that as we go on in the study, that he hearkened. When God speaks, what do you do? When God would show to us visions of himself, what do you do? We must listen. We must hearken. We must look. We must be obedient. As we look and see the vision of God as Ezekiel saw the vision of God, oh, how glorious it is. Oh, how great it is. What encouragement it gives us to serve the Lord. It causes me to get excited. And it's easier to do any task when you're excited about it, isn't it? Turn with me to the book of Exodus. Exodus chapter 15. Verse 26 said, and said, if thou wilt diligently hearken to the voice of the Lord thy God, and wilt do that which is right in his sight, and will give ear to his commandments, and keep all his statutes, I will put none of these diseases upon thee, which I have brought upon the Egyptians. For I am the Lord that healeth thee. If thou wilt diligently hearken. What do you understand the word hearken to mean? Do you just understand the word hearken to mean hear? Or do you understand the word hearken to mean hearing followed with doing? That's what it is. It means to hear intelligently. And what's that mean? To hear intelligently. It means give attention and obedience to. When God speaks, when he would give us a vision of himself, which he doesn't give us dreams and that sort of thing today. That's not the visions we're talking about. We're talking about from his word here. When he would give us those visions, when he speaks to us, we must hear intelligently. We must give attention to it and obedience to it. Turn with me to the book of Leviticus. Leviticus, chapter 26. Well, this is a lengthy reading, but that's okay. It's good. We need it. Verse 14. But if ye will not hearken unto me, Here's that word again. Same Hebrew word. But if ye will not hearken unto me, and will not do all these commandments, and if ye shall despise my statutes, or if your soul abhor my judgments, so that ye will not do all my commandments, but that ye break my covenant, I also will do this unto you. I will even appoint over you terror, sudden terror, consumption. That's a wasting disease that most likely is a wasting of the lungs. And the burning ague, that's a high fever that actually burns the body. Like scarlet fever, was it? Scarlet fever, rheumatic fever. That shall consume the eyes and cause sorrow of heart, and ye shall sow your seed in vain, for your enemies shall eat it. And I will set my face against you, and ye shall be slain before your enemies. They that hate you shall reign over you, and ye shall flee when none pursueth you. And you can finish reading down through verse 28 there, and just more of the same that he'll do to them if they will not hearken. You say, but God doesn't deal that way today, does he? Well, I just told you of three men that I know personally and how the Lord dealt with their disobedience. Now, I know only the Lord can say whether they were saved or not. But I believe at least two of the three were. And the one that died, that was the ringleader, he was the spiritual senior. He should have known better. Lord held him responsible. Turn with me to the book of Proverbs, chapter 8. Proverbs 8, verse 32. Now therefore, hearken unto me, O ye children, for blessed are they that keep my ways. You want the blessings of the Lord? Hearken. When the word of the Lord is spoken, when the word of the Lord is preached, when you see something from the word of the Lord, hearken. Give attention to it. Be obedient unto it. Turn with me to the book of Luke, chapter 10. Want to see how important it is? Luke chapter 10 and look at verse 16. He that heareth you, heareth me. These are the words of Jesus. And he that despiseth you, despiseth me. Let me point something out to you. Did you know not listening to the word of the Lord, not heeding the word of the Lord, not hearkening the word of the Lord is to despise him? That's what he's saying here. He that despiseth you despiseth me, and he that despiseth me, Jesus said, despiseth him that sent me. He despiseth God. That's pretty serious when we don't listen to the word of the Lord. And I'm guilty, and you're guilty. Turn with me to the book of John. We'll close with this one. John chapter 8, verse 47. He that is of God heareth God's words. Oh, you want that read again? He that is of God heareth God's words. Ye therefore hear them not, because you're not of God. Is that so? Shall we stand? Be dismissed in a word of prayer. Brother Mike, would you dismiss us?
Our Heavenly Father, we thank you for your permission in my house once again this evening. Thank you, Lord.